Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Looking so lovely out here on this day as we're approaching again. Christmas. Boy, how many days now? How many days? Nobody's counting the days? 17 days? I'll take your word for it, because I'm not counting. I know it's coming fast. But we are so blessed to have you here as we are celebrating Christmas all month long, and we're doing that with a series called The Mystery of Christmas. Last week, we began this series with a consideration, really kind of a brief one, really, of the miracle or the mystery of the incarnation, the fact that God became flesh. You can read about it in John 1 and the first couple of chapters of Luke. There are many other references throughout Scripture that indicate about this wonderful and sacred and beautiful, mysterious event. I hope that as we consider this mystery of Christmas, we're not going to forget, again, this thing we looked at just last week, again, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, this very early confession of faith. The Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, he says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body. Again, this marvelous mystery, and it is a great mystery indeed, that God could become flesh, that divinity could take on humanity and live among us. How incredible is that? That the DNA of the Creator would intermingle with that of a young virgin and produce the one and only Son of God, the only begotten, a unique person in Christ. A great mystery, indeed. But I want you to lean in real close, and I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to give you some insight into this mystery. It's concerning the motive behind Christmas. The motive, we're going to see, was to bring salvation for all nations. How do I know that? Well, because the mystery has been revealed to us through the Scriptures and through the apostles and the prophets. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us God's intent here. I want you to pay attention to Ephesians chapter 3. We looked at a section of this passage last week. We're going to pick up earlier this week in verse 2. Beginning in 2 of Ephesians 3, Paul writes, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is what? The mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly." Paul's saying again, he's had this revelation given to him. He has learned the secrets of the mystery, and he is going to declare it to them. He says he's already done that to some degree. He's going to do it some more. He says, in reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which wasn't made known to men in other generations, as it is, has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. So again, Paul is saying, I've been given this insight, and I want to share that insight with you. I want you to understand and comprehend something about this mystery of God. He says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, so if anyone was to ask you, well, what is the mystery of Christmas? What is it? The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members of one body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus. In case you aren't sure who the Gentiles are, it's most of you, if not all of you. It refers to anyone who's not a Hebrew. So, no matter what your nationality or ethnicity, no matter what your race, no matter what your creed, no matter what your color, this is you. It's you. Christ Jesus has good news for us. Paul has good news for us. That's what gospel means, good news. That's the mystery Paul's talking about, is that this good news is for all nations. What is the good news? Salvation for all nations. Despite what many Jewish people believed, God had always intended to save all of his children from every nation, from every tribe, of every tongue. That was his intent. That was his plan. That was his desire. Always desired to save all of his children. Isn't that good news? To know that no nation is excluded, that no nationality is excluded, that no ethnicity is excluded, that no race is excluded. Isn't that good news to know that God loves them all and wants all of them to experience salvation? What's that got to do with Christmas? Remember the declaration of the angel from Luke 2? We looked at it last week as the angel declared to the shepherds this: do not be afraid. I bring you what? Good news. Remember, that's gospel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? All the people. Not some, not a few, but all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The good news, the gospel, that one Paul spoke about, it's for everyone, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. I know that most of you know John 3:16 very well, right? For God so loved a few people in the world. Is that what it says? For God so loved, well, the good people in the world. No. For God so loved the beautiful people in the world. That would exclude some of us. That's not what it says, is it? For God so loved the world. We're talking about the whole world, that he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Isn't that good news? We know that verse. But see, that's God's intent. That's the miracle and the mystery of Christmas. God sent Jesus for salvation for every nation. The mystery of Christmas, see, is God loves us and wants to save us. From what? Our sins. For no matter who we are, no matter what our background, no matter how good we may think we are, or how royal our bloodline might be, guess what? We are all sinners in need of a Savior. All of us. We need a mighty Savior, and Jesus fits the bill. Hallelujah. He was sent to meet that need. Now, some might think, well, I hear you, but I can't believe it's for me. I can't believe that he loves me. I can't believe that he really has a plan for me. Can't believe that. Why? Well, maybe they believe they're an outcast. I've heard people say my own family didn't want me. How could anybody want me? Those who I thought loved me most betrayed me worst. How could I believe that God loves me, has a plan for me? Some might think, well, I'm a mongrel. And if you younger folks don't know what that is, that's a mixed breed. You might think, well, I'm damaged goods. Some might think, well, you don't know what I've done, what I've been involved with, the horrible things I've said, the things I've allowed to be done to me, I've participated in. I'm damaged goods again. Who could possibly love me? Who could possibly want me? That sounds a bit like a woman I read about in the scripture, in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, that she might have thought that. Who could want me? Who could love me? Who could want to save me? But Jesus let her know he had come for her. He was the Messiah for her. Sounds a little bit like that woman in John 8 as well, who was caught in very active adultery and dragged into the street to be stoned. And they asked Jesus what should be done with her. What's the law say? He says, I don't condemn her. You have no sin. First stone, cast it. Cast it. And they walked away. See, he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. Who? All. no matter what they'd been involved in, no matter what they'd done, he came to save, not to condemn. Sounds a little bit like maybe even the man who was in the catacombs and the living among the tombs, who everyone had rejected and feared, and they'd tried to confine him and push him aside and get away from him. Jesus freed him. Sounds a bit like maybe the leper, you know, who no one would have anything to do with, again, who was an outcast, but Jesus touched and healed. So maybe we'd say, well, I'm not like them, though. I'm still not like them. I don't fit in. I'm not attractive. I'm not athletic. I'm not academic. That sounds like maybe a lot of us at times, where we may have said things, felt things like that. Again, we don't fit in. Who could love us? Who could care for us? Who could want to save us? We can feel unloved, perhaps even feel unlovable. But the mystery of Christmas is this: God loves every man, woman, and child on this planet, and sent his son to prove it. But what if I'm gay? Or transgender? What if I'm unsure about what I am or who I am? God loves you. Jesus died for you. He came and lived among men and came to free people and save them. But again, all of us need to listen very carefully to this. He loves us all too much to leave us in the condition he finds us in. He loves us too much for that. See, he came to save us, not just from the condemnation of sin, but from the control of sin and the consequence of sin, to save us from that. To save us from our sinful, destructive, harmful habits and behaviors. He came to rescue us, not just again from the curse of death, but to save us to live a new life. He came for that. We're going to explore that more this week, this idea of the new life that's there in the mystery of Christmas. For it involves not only the incarnation and the salvation for every nation, it also involves, and dare I say, reincarnation. I'm talking about recreation. God taking on flesh again. We'll talk about that next week. I want to remind you of Paul's declaration in the very next section of Ephesians. It's what we considered last week, picking up now in verse 7. Keep in mind what we've already looked at. He says, I became a servant of this gospel. What's gospel? The good news. What is that gospel, this good news? That there's salvation for every nation. He became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to him through the working of his power. Although he says, I'm less than the least of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord. See, the mystery of Christmas. God loves you. God cares for you. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, he loves you. He sent Jesus to save you. Jesus himself said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for those who were sin sick. I came to redeem. I came for those who need a Savior. And we all do, whether we realize it or not. So church, part of the mystery of Christmas we're seeing is our mission. Our mission. It isn't to buy presents for everyone on our list. Anybody maybe have a Christmas list? Well, that's a great thing to do, isn't it? To buy gifts, buy presents again for those on our list. Who's on your list? But really, the mission, this mystery of Christmas for us is to declare to everyone, even those who are not on our list, that they're on God's list. They're on His list. He wants us to know that we're on His list. We're on His list. And He's not asking us, though, what do you want? He's telling you, I love you enough to give you what you need. And whether you recognize it or not, it is what you really want. It's what you really desire. It's salvation. This incredible gift for us in His Son, Jesus. He wants for everyone to know that they are heirs of the promise. Isn't that what He said? Heirs of the promise. Of what? A home in heaven with Him. Blessings upon blessings now, but eternal blessings with Him in heaven forever. Not because we've earned it, but because we need it. And one of the things that I believe is so neat here is that we're on His list and He's already provided what we need, but so many of us have yet to receive the gift. Precious gift He has already given them. So what's our mission? To tell them. To let them know. And once more, I think it's incredible how we have proclaimed that in song today. It's been proclaimed in the community meditation. It's been proclaimed in the lesson. But we need to proclaim it out there, not just in here. Not just in here. There is joy for the world. But the joy is Jesus. It's Jesus. And there are so many people, as has been mentioned already, who are hurting and they're wounded and they're grieving right now. Right now. And they all have a hard time even being able to celebrate this holiday season. But what we can do is at least assure them again that they're loved, that God cares about them. God cares about them, and He wants to comfort them even in this time. And one of the greatest comforts is, I think we sing a song with it, comfort and joy, comfort. What can He comfort them with right now? In His presence, and I'm not talking about a present under the tree, the presence of His Son in our lives. May we carry that to all that we encounter. I'm honored to have the privilege of telling you the secrets of the mystery of Christmas. That's a privilege. But it's a privilege you have too. Tomorrow night is going to be the annual ornament exchange and reveal of the secret pals for the ladies here at Calvary. All right, that's tomorrow night. Am I correct? Tomorrow night. And I was invited. Because it's for the ladies. But girls, I have something to tell you. I may know who your secret pal is already. I have inside information. I know the lady who heads up Secret Pals, but I also have had some of you use me as a liaison to take the gift and put it where it's supposed to be so that others wouldn't. So I have some inside information. But guess what? I can keep a secret, don't worry. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'll keep that, you know, very confidential. And you'll have your reveal tomorrow. But guess what? I love it when I've had a secret that I can now tell. I love to be able to share a secret that I've held in that's a good secret. Don't you? Love to be able to then tell. Let that out. The bigger secret that we can share, we can all share, is the secret of the mystery of Christmas. I am commissioned to, and I am compelled to, and I am pleased to tell people about Jesus. Are you? And what a great season to do that. Great season to do that. We are not just revealing again who someone's secret pal or someone's secret Santa might be. We're telling them about who has blessed them not just with a few gifts throughout the year, as meaningful as might be, but the one who's blessed them with every good and perfect gift they've ever had or experienced throughout their whole life. I know this benefactor personally. And I know he still has so much more to give to me and to you than we might have dreamed possible. And he's what the mystery of Christmas is really all about. His name is Jesus. And he is Christ the Lord. I want to tell you a little story. When I was just a kid, long, long time ago, I must have been about, six, I think, years old. My older brother, Stan, a couple years older than me, it was Christmas Eve, you know, and we went to bed because Mom and Dad said, off to bed, you know, so in the morning, you'll be able to get up and see your gifts, you know, around the tree. So we went upstairs and went to bed. I don't know what time it was, maybe midnight. My brother goes, psst, psst, psst. Hey, you want to go downstairs and see what we got? And I said, no, we better not do that. We better wait. We better wait, you know. He said, no. We'll go down. I said, we had to go right through Mom and Dad's bedroom, the way our house was laid out, right through it. I said, we'll get caught. He said, no, we won't. No, we won't. No, we'll be quiet. So we go down the stairs, and we're going through Mom and Dad's bedroom, and we got caught. Mom says, what are you guys doing up? I said, oh, we got to go to the restroom. Both of you? Yeah. Well, you go to the bathroom, and you go right back upstairs and go to bed, and don't you go into the living room. Oh, we won't, Mom. So we went into the bathroom. And we ran the water and washed our hands and sat and waited. You think you're asleep yet? Think she's going back to sleep? Tiptoed out into the living room. All the presents were in the tree. They weren't wrapped, you know, because Santa doesn't wrap presents. So they weren't wrapped. So we played with them. We had a good old time. Then we tried to put everything back right where it was, you know. And then we went back upstairs. Mom says, you guys just now going upstairs? Yeah. She didn't realize how much time had passed. See, it's not just good kids that get presents. Praise God. It's not just the good who get the gift of God's Son. And but I thought about that, and I thought also about how I just couldn't wait. My brother and I just couldn't wait. We were so anxious to receive the gifts, to see the gifts. I pray we're just as anxious about the gift of Jesus. Amen? We're just as anxious and thrilled and excited, so we can't hardly wait. And I pray we'll be that excited, too, to tell other people and invite them to come see the gift that God has given this Christmas. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to be together this morning, to be able to celebrate Jesus, to be able to recognize the great and wonderful, wonderful blessing that is, well, wrapped up in this mystery of Christmas. I want to thank you, Father, for you're knowing us so well, but yet loving us still, and knowing our deepest need for sins to be forgiven, for a relationship to be restored, and for us to have life with you eternal. God, I pray that you would help us to recognize just how blessed we are who have received Jesus. But also may we recognize how important it is that we share the gift, share the news, share the gospel with those we encounter. God, thank you so much for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you promise yet to do. We're believing it will all come to pass because you are a good, good Father. Father, again, thank you for Jesus. And if there's anyone here who has not yet acknowledged him, received him as you've intended, Father, we pray that their hearts might be touched by your love and by, God, your persistence in calling them into your presence. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and amen.